Our text comes from today, Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. It can be found on page 806 in the Old Testament section of your pew Bibles. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and said to them to hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and you will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had came upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy mortal," and said to the breath, "Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breath upon these slain, and they may live." I prophesied as he commanded me, and then the breath came into them, and then they lived, and stood on their feet as a vast multitude. Then he said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy, and they say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves. O my people, I will bring you back from the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Would you pray with me this morning? Thank you, God, for this incredible word, this word of prophecy, this word that was given to your servant Ezekiel that he shared with us this morning. Teach us from your word that all that we do and say, God, would be aligned with your perfect will for our lives. In Christ's name, amen. So on March 29th, 1974, a poor rural farmer living in the region of Shanxi, China, just to the east of the great city of Xi'an, went out to dig a well in a valley. And he began to dig with a shovel, and he hit a rock, and he went down to try to clear the dirt from around the rock, and he stood back in horror because looking at him up out of the ground was the face of a man who had been buried, seemingly standing straight up. But he looked closer, and it obviously wasn't a living person, but it wasn't a skeleton either, but it was the clear face of a human being. And he cleared it away, and he found that that face and that head was connected to a full body of a man made of clay standing in the ground. And as he dug a little further, he found that next to him was another figure and another. He realized he had found something extraordinary. Eventually, Chinese archaeologists came to examine the site, and they found what is called now the Terracotta Army. It is considered perhaps one of the greatest archaeological finds of this past 100 years, along with King Tut's tomb. What they found buried in the ground were these figures, life-size figures of 8,000 soldiers, 130 chariots being pulled by 520 full-size horses and another 150 cavalry horses and many other characters. What they found was the burial site of the very first emperor of China, who died about 200 years before the time of Jesus Christ. And in honor of him and to protect him in the afterlife, artisans made these thousands and thousands of figures and then put them in a series of trenches, only one of three that have been unearthed thus far, and covered them over with dirt. This lifeless army to protect the body of a dead king. As I read this story from the prophet Ezekiel, I can't help but think about this. I mean, God took this man, Ezekiel, and he showed him something in either a trance or a vision of looking out over this valley. The valley was filled with human bones. Now, there's 206 bones in the human body. Skull bones, mandibles, pelvic bones, femurs, all the rest, and they're just lying in a huge heap, and they're completely dried out. And in his trance, in this moment, God spoke to Ezekiel, and he said, "Can these bones live?" And of course, you would expect him to say, "Absolutely not. These are dead bones. They're dried up. They have no life in them." But the prophet is smart enough to not respond to God that way. He says, "Well, God, you can do whatever you want." See, God has a way of taking dead things and bringing them back to life. He has a very good track record of this, in fact. And so he instead says to him, "Prophesy to these bones, speak to them. Speak my word to them that you are going to live again." And as he begins to speak, suddenly there's this rattling, this cacophony of noise, and the bones begin to reassemble themselves, and they're joined together by sinew and tendon and covered by skin, and suddenly standing in the valley is this vast army of what had previously been these dry bones standing at attention. Still completely lifeless, like the terracotta army, standing at attention, waiting for a word of life. It's an extraordinary vision. The text is bound together by one very important Hebrew word, and that word is ruach. Ruach is a Hebrew word that has multiple translations in English. It can be translated as wind or breath or spirit. Depending on the context, that one word can be translated in three different ways because they're interchangeable. And it says, "Speak to the wind, that that wind would become breath, and that breath would be my living spirit in these bodies." And the prophet speaks, and the army comes to life. And then God interprets the vision for his prophet. He said, "Those dry bones that you saw in that valley, those were my beloved people. That was the people of Israel. Their hope, what I had called them to be, had become so dried up, so lost and forgotten, they were like a pile of dead bones. But when I begin to speak, says God, the dead come back to life. The wrecked become resurrected." And that's what God was trying to show Ezekiel in that vision. You know, I wonder if we aren't a lot like that farmer in China from time to time, that we, in going through our lives, stumble upon something that looks quite dead, that used to be alive. Maybe it's when you're looking through an old photo album and you see that old boyfriend or girlfriend, or you remember when I was back in college, I dreamed I was going to be that kind of a professional or travel to that particular country or live in that place, or that time when you thought about starting that new business, but things just kind of got derailed and that dream got left behind. We all come upon these dried up bones, these dried up hopes and plans and dreams. Things that we thought were going to turn out one way, and they turned out so differently than we ever imagined. My favorite musical is Les Miserables. The great character of Fontaine, that tragic woman who's selling her body out in the street to try to make a little bit of money to support her daughter. Cosette, and she sings that heartbreaking song, "I Dreamed a Dream." And she talks about what she thought her life would be like when she was a young girl. She was going to meet the man of her dreams. They were going to have a family. And she met a young man, but he used her and left her pregnant. She raises a daughter on her own. She tries to get a job in the factory. She loses the job, and she ends up selling her body. She goes, "I dreamed my life would be so different than this hell I'm living. Life has killed the dream I dreamed." Every once in a while, we stumble across a dry bone, a dead dream, a hope that's gone away, something that we thought was going to happen. This happens for us as individuals, and it can happen to us as churches, as nations. I was stunned. Not very long ago, I met somebody who used to live here in Allentown. They moved away a long time ago, and they were back visiting, and I just happened to meet them, and I said, "Oh, yeah, I'm the pastor of the Presbyterian Church." The person said, "I used to worship in that church. I went several times back in they thought it was the late 1980s or early 1990s, and they said, gosh, that church was dying." There was no life there. I went several times. Nobody talked to me. Nobody followed up with me. "What's happened to that church?" I said, "Oh, my friend, God. God had a different dream. God had a different plan. It may have felt like a dry bone to you, but I'm telling you, there's a living army in that church these days. God began to bring families like the Kurzea family and like the Gagnon family and like the Harshman family. He brought new people who began to come here who had a different vision, a new life, and they raised up a whole new generation of leaders who have just guided this church and led it. And I wish that person was here this morning to see the living army of Jesus Christ who's come to worship him this morning and all of these young lives who are being changed by the gospel message. Do I have an amen for that? That is an awesome thing of what God is doing in this place. God's ruach, God's spirit of breath, of life is blowing through this place and touching the lives of people whose hopes and dreams had fallen by the wayside, helping them to dream and to live in a new way. I wonder if you've found yourself imagining something this morning, maybe something that you've put way on the back burner. You said, "That's never going to happen. That's never going to be." And maybe there are some paths that you've gone down now that have cut off some other possibilities in your life. There are some dreams that simply have to die. But there are other dreams that shouldn't, that maybe they're just in an incubation period. Maybe they've just been buried underground, waiting to be brought to the surface for God to speak and do something new in your life. I knew a young girl who had a dream when she was a teenager that she was going to grow up to be a missionary. Her hero was Mother Teresa. She said, "I want to be like that when I get older. I want to go to the poorest country in the world and serve the poorest people on planet Earth. That's what I want to do with my life." And that young teenage girl grew up and started to pursue that dream, and then something horrible happened. She met me. And instead of going to foreign countries to serve the poor, she started having babies. 1, 2, 3, 4. She became a stay-at-home mom. And she raised those kids and followed her husband around from church to church, eventually in Allentown, and kind of forgot about that dream. They're too busy with lessons and games and classes and homework and all of that. And when she was 50 years old, she saw that old bone. That old dried up bone, that old dream sitting there all that time. Can that breathe? Can that live? Can we go and live for a year in Africa? And that dream came back to life. And she goes and serves the poorest of the poor. And she leaves on Tuesday again for another 3 weeks, taking 27 doctors to provide medical care to people who've never seen a doctor in their lives. See, sometimes our dreams look like a dry bone to us. They look dead and gone. But in God's eyes, it's just waiting for the right time for God to speak something to you. You know what? It is not too late, nor is it too early for you to begin to live God's dream for your life. It is not too late, nor is it too early for God to call you to do something of infinite significance, to serve the poor, to teach a class, to renew a relationship, to bury a hurt, to offer forgiveness, to repair a relationship. God has an amazing ability, friends, of taking dry bones and turning them into a living army, of rising out of the dust an army of living, breathing followers. And I believe he's not done with you or with us yet. Lord, thank you so much for this incredible vision. I pray for my friends here this morning, God, whose dreams and hopes feel so dry, who wonder if there is somebody there who will be their partner, if they wonder if that job is ever going to work out, if that career is going to come to pass, if that vision for care and love and making a difference is still waiting for them, God. For those who have lost their vision, who've lost their hope, who've lost their direction and way, God, may we be encouraged by this incredible vision that the dead will rise and an army will live again. In Jesus' name, amen.